Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
This portion of the program brought to you by our friends over at Crestview Country Club. Fall at the club, there's still a lot going on, although I know over the weekend with all the rain, it wasn't like it was good golf weather, but there's still a lot of indoor activities that you can take part in over at Crestview, including tennis and just, you know, the restaurant, so many other things happening there at Crestview Country Club. And then holidays at the club are just around the corner, brunch experiences, there's a New Year's Eve event, youth activities, adult nights, and so much more all going on over at Crestview. And we certainly appreciate their partnership with us here on Sports Daily.
Oh, I love the place. Yeah, I'm with you on that, Tommy.
Always a lot of fun. Let's get into the Kansas City Chiefs Monday Night Football tonight. Of course, you'll be able to hear the Chiefs Radio Network with Mitch Holthus over on KNSS. And actually, Mitch was on Steve and Ted on Friday talking about the matchup with the Buccaneers, and I believe we have that audio ready to go.
We get the mercurial Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which should be interesting, and Baker Mayfield can doubt the Chiefs. Dislike the Chiefs, disrespect the Chiefs, but you're going to have to deal with the Chiefs, which has become a little bit of a battle cry of the kingdom. You really have to say the same thing about Baker Mayfield. You can hate him, but you got to respect him. It's Wes Montooth and Anchorman here, because just when you think Mayfield's gone and buried, he, like Rasputin, comes back. He leads the NFL with 21 touchdown passes. Huh. He is definitely ornery enough to win this game Monday night, so we got our hands full with Baker Mayfield.
Man, I love that because, you know, Baker goes under the radar now at this point in his career, Paul, you know, kind of going from the brink of not being in the league anymore to now leading a Buccaneers team, throwing more touchdown passes almost than anybody else in the league. And I think the Buccaneers outside of the Falcons are the best team in that division in the NFC South. And I think Mitch is right. It's going to be a task, I think, for the Kansas City defense to try to contain Baker.
Well, of course, the way that you will contain Baker Mayfield, and it's not like he's going to be a guy like a Lamar Jackson who can hop out of the pocket and take off and all that. He doesn't want to. He can do it. Don't get me wrong. He can do it. But that's not necessarily the game he wants. But the Chiefs, if they want to control Baker Mayfield, pressure up the middle, pressure off the rim. You know, those are the kind of things that you got a good quarterback. The old philosophy, it's still tried and true, and it doesn't change from quarterback to quarterback or game to game. And that is put pressure on a quarterback. If you want to defend a really good quarterback, pressure on the quarterback is the way to do it. So that's what the Chiefs have to do. Well, this game will go greatly with regards to how much pressure the Kansas City Chiefs can put on Baker Mayfield. You take away the step up in the pocket, and then you probably have a pretty good shot. As a matter of fact, what you want him to do is to pop out and then go run him down. That's probably one of the part of the game plan. Pop Baker Mayfield out of the pocket, run him down.
One of the things that I really, really like about Baker is he just has this mentality that, you know what, and Mitch alluded to this in his comments on Steve and Ted, he's going to go out and he's going to basically shove it in your face. He doesn't care if you like him. He doesn't care if you think he's obnoxious. He's going to go out there and he's going to leave it all on the line. He's been doing that since his college days and probably even before that. I've got a lot of respect for him because it didn't look like it was going to work out in the NFL long term for him. He's revitalized his career and, you know, he found a great landing spot in Tampa Bay. And honestly, I wasn't sure that it was going to work. He was following Tom Brady, right? He was the new quarterback after Tom Brady retired. Didn't think it was going to work. And it's working.
Yes. Yes, and it is. And, of course, timing's everything, isn't it? I mean, how important is timing? Well, timing's everything. And you're exactly right. And, of course, he's got a little of this shove it in your face from his college days because he played at a football program at the University of Oklahoma that liked to shove it in your face a little, didn't they? I mean, that's sort of what the Sooners are all about and have always been about. And so that comes naturally to him. And you're right. But he is a good, solid quarterback. Is he Tom Brady? No, I don't think he's Tom Brady. Is he a good quarterback? He's doing really well for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But here's the thing. He's fit into a program where he fits and fits well. And that's part of the situation for him. He's doing the things, and they're allowing him to do the things that he does well. He doesn't do everything well, but those are the things that he can do well. He's going to hit the mid-range passes, the outs, the flats. He's going to hit the hitches. He does all that well. He's probably not quite as, and this is just subjective, but he's probably not quite as effective on fades and that kind of stuff. But he can still hit them, don't get me wrong. But he can control a football field with his arm.
Well, here's the thing about Baker, too, this season, is that while he leads the league in touchdown passes and he's second in the league in passing yards per game, he's also tied for the league lead in interceptions. So he'll make mistakes. Like they're going to put him in a position to where he can kind of go out there and be a little bit of a gunslinger. Mm-hmm. Now it does change things when you don't have Chris Godwin and you don't have Mike Evans, and he's not going to have either one of them. Godwin is done for the year. Mike Evans is not playing in this game. So your top two receivers, you're down. That might change things a little bit, but I think the Chiefs, to your point about disrupting him, that's going to be a key for them defensively, is to get him off schedule, to make him uncomfortable in the pocket. Mm. He likes to get the ball out quickly. If you can get him moving, if you can get him off balance and all of that, that's really where the pass rush, I think, for Kansas City is going to be so imperative tonight for them.
Well, I think that's pretty well said. And, of course, here again, you know, the key to the defense for the Chiefs is probably, how about this for a surprise? Push in the middle with Chris Allen.
Chris Jones.
I mean, you get to a point with a guy like Chris Jones, if he gets the push that we think he can get, then this becomes a different game. This becomes a different game for Baker Mayfield. This becomes a game where, you know, you don't have that room to operate in the pocket. And even with that being said, he's no Patrick Mahomes on working in the pocket. That's for sure. You're going to see expertise working in the pocket when you watch Patrick Mahomes tonight. He's as good as anybody. Well, Lamar Jackson's pretty good too, but Patrick Mahomes, I think, is the traditional quarterback, the greatest operator in the pocket in the NFL. I don't know if you'd agree with that, but he's certainly up there if that's the case. But
I think that that's a part of Mahomes' game that's been underrated, because everybody focuses on what he does on the run and how he can create something out of nothing. He can make these spectacular throws on the run, or he can run for.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
For first downs just incredible, and you know, just being Houdini in that regard. Because of that, when he does something in the pocket, you kind of gloss over it because you're like, oh, you know, it's just he's in the pocket. He's just making a throw there. But I think it's an underrated part of his game when he's able to be in the pocket with time to be able to let things develop downfield. On that note, Paul, especially talking about downfield, this is game number two with DeAndre Hopkins in a Chiefs uniform.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the first opportunity for DeAndre Hopkins to be in front of the home crowd at Arrowhead in primetime on Monday Night Football. He's had additional time now to get acclimated to the Chiefs offense. If it were me, I mean, I'm gonna pound the player props, I think, with DeAndre Hopkins tonight. I think that they're going to deliberately try to find a way to get him significantly more involved in the offense in game number two. I think he's going to have a really big night.
Right. I mean, you have a Monday game that gives you an extra day of practice.
Absolutely.
And I'm telling you right now, that's huge. That's a really good point. The props is maybe the place to go. I hadn't really thought of it that way. But what a difference a day makes for a Hopkins or somebody like that. fresh into the you know, and getting that relationship.
And they got him involved a week ago on the road. He only had 2 or 3 days to get ready to join the team, and then he played when they took on the Raiders, and he didn't have a huge game, but he had a couple targets and caught a couple passes, and I think that'll just be even more so tonight.
Yeah, but that wasn't the game where he needed to come up big. I mean, that was sort of like we knew what was going to happen anyway. I believe that was that type of game. But with this game tonight, you know, that extra day of practice, there's going to be – you're going to see marked improvement in the relationship between Hopkins and Mahomes.
Yeah.
You're just going to, because that extra day, and they're really focusing. I would probably say 70% of all the passes in practice are probably going to him. With whatever they do and whatever routes he's running, whatever they're calling, whatever down and distance situations they're doing in practice, all that kind of stuff, don't you bet probably 70% of the reps are probably going to him. They're going to get this relationship, and this relationship has – well, it has the potential to be really good and pay off on at a high level.
Well, and I don't think that it's because they don't want to give the ball to anybody else, because they love Xavier Worthy, and obviously they have Travis Kelce. I mean, so it's not about that, but it's more about, man, Hopkins is still a game changer for us or for any team that he's on.
Yeah.
So the more that we can work him in, the greater level of success we'll have. I'm looking at his player props right now. The line for receptions, the over-under line, is 3.5.
Wow.
He's got to get 4 catches on the game to hit that over. I think he gets 4 catches. Wow. I think he gets 6 catches tonight.
Yeah.
Or more than that.
Or
I mean,
more.
You know, 3.5, I really like that line. I'm going to hammer the over on that. And then receiving yards, 44.5. He's got to get 45 receiving yards or more to hit the over. I think he'll do that, too.
He does that on one fade, for guys' sake.
He does that, too. So I think that just because of the longer time that now he's had in getting ready after last week's game, the extra day with it being Monday Night Football, the home crowd, all of that, man, I love DeAndre Hopkins' spot in this game.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, he has certainly he has had the potential of making this football team even better, if that's possible. And, of course, we all know it is possible because of the injuries to running back, because of the injuries to and problems that the receivers have had on the Kansas City Chiefs. But he sure brings a lot to this football team. But thank goodness the defense is going to remain consistent. It's going to remain good. It's really going to be one of the better defenses, I think, in the AFC, don't you? I mean,
I think so.
I think so.
I think so.
I mean, there's always injuries and things that we don't see. But I'm just thinking to myself, this is a football team, you know, that's could rally. And could we have a 1972 Miami Dolphins situation? I'm really asking. I'm serious about that.
Probably not. And the reason that I say that is just because that's not the focus of the Chiefs. Dan Israel last week, when he was on our program, said that, you know, he could envision a scenario where the Chiefs are 12-0 or 13-0, and then Andy Reid just rests everybody for the rest of the season to get them ready for the playoff push.
Yeah.
You know, and you're talking about more than one game there. You're talking about multiple games. So I don't think so. Although from a talent perspective, sure, like absolutely. And it's the next big test, not saying that the Buccaneers are not a big test, because they are, but really the next big test is next weekend when the Chiefs go to Buffalo. That's really going to be the major litmus test for them. There's no doubt about it. But this is a good warm-up. It's a good warm-up against a team tonight that they're competing for a playoff spot. They were a playoff team a season ago. They've got injuries at wide receiver, but Baker Mayfield has shown that he can get the job done. But where the warm-up is and where the Chiefs can really have a lot of success, Tampa Bay's pass defense is not very good. Like, they're not very good at all. In fact, over the last two games, the Buccaneers have allowed 72 points and 451 yards per game. They're giving up a lot of yards.
That is a lot.
So this is an opportunity, I think, for the offense for Kansas City, which, let's face it, hasn't been outstanding for a large portion of this year,
mm-hmm.
for them to break out a little bit and get ready for a Buffalo game next weekend.
And, of course, the one wild card with the Buffalo game is the weather. Now, this last game with the Dolphins and the Bills was interesting because, just looking, I never did really hear on the broadcast how cold, how warm it was, what it was. But I saw people on the sidelines working with shorts on. So, I mean, it had to have been fairly nice.
Yeah.
That
and we're not yet into December, January Buffalo weather yet.
We're not there yet where you could have 3 feet of snow when you drive to the stadium, right, which we have seen even just last year. So we're not there yet, but weather could always have a potential. And probably in the playoffs, if anybody has to go to Buffalo once the playoffs start, it's going to have a major deal. So we'll see about that. But you look at the Bills, that's also a game that's going to be close, but it's also a game the Chiefs are very capable of winning. But the Bills are going to be a different story than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers tonight. There are some things that, well, let's just face it, the Buccaneers don't match up near as well with the Chiefs as the Bills do. And
sure.
And by the way, when I'm looking at the best quarterbacks in the NFL, I'm going to throw Kansas City. I'm going to throw the Bills. I'm going to throw
we got to throw Lamar Jackson and the Ravens in there.
The Ravens. I'm going to throw the Lions. And well, there's the top four. Those are quarterbacks, teams with quarterbacks that are just unbelievable. Those are the guys that
Do you put Baker on that list? I mean, no. He leads the league in touchdowns thrown.
No, I don't. But he also
second in the league in passing yards a game.
No, I'm not.
Why? I'm just curious.
Well,
the stats
a lot of interceptions
are there
too.
That's true. It's a good point. I mean, do you think Mayfield he benefits, at least before the injuries, benefited from having Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, two of the best in the league, to catch the balls?
Think that makes a difference? I kind of think probably. It does make a difference.
I don't think you can discount him. I think he's
come
been.
Come on. You got to have receivers. If you're a quarterback, you got to have receivers. I mean, we saw how tough it was for Patrick Mahomes when, you know, he was sort of playing with a depleted, you know, core of receivers. You saw a lot of stuff going to Kelce at that time when that was happening. But, I mean, you've got to have receivers. And you've got to have receivers who catch the ball and get after catch yards. Man, that's an art. Yep. That's not easy to do. In the NFL, that's an art. You got to have those kind of guys.
Kansas City, 9-point favorites at home tonight on Monday Night Football. We'll see if they're able to get that done and close out the week and stay undefeated. Of course, as I mentioned before, you can listen to both broadcasts. There are two different broadcasts on our network, the Chiefs Radio Network. Mitch Holthus and the gang over on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, and the national broadcast with Westwood One right here on KFH. Pre-game on KNSS begins at 6 o'clock. Over here on KFH, it begins at 6:30. Kickoff is around 7:20 to 7:30 or so tonight as the Chiefs take on the Buccaneers at Arrowhead Stadium on Monday Night Football. On the other side, the Shockers kick off their regular season tonight on the road at Western Kentucky, and they got some big news from the NCAA regarding the eligibility of one of their potential top players. We'll have that and a whole lot more as we continue on. It's Sports Daily on a Reaction Monday. We'll be right back.
Oh, 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.